If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Get connected with WFAN to talk about your favorite teams. The Fan, always live on the free Odyssey app. Got to run to keep
rolling. And I'm bound to keep on riding. I got one more silver dollar. But I'm not gonna let them catch me, no. Not gonna let them catch the midnight rider.
Yes, sir! Yes, sir! 102 on the Fan. McMonagle here with you. Yeah, I know it's not midnight, but it's still a five-hour ride as we got you until 6 o'clock. So those of you who are sleeping right now, but you're normally up in the 5 o'clock hour, you'll get a chance to hear me. Why I'm telling you that now while you sleep, I don't know. I just felt like saying it. How's everybody else doing? On this Friday morning, we made it. Memorial Day, the official kickoff of the summer, right after me. It doesn't feel like summer, but maybe it will later today. Maybe it will tonight as we get ready for game number 2 of the New York Knicks in their first Eastern Conference in 25 years, quarter century. Game number 2 tonight against the Pacers. And yeah, you know, I don't know if you caught the show yesterday. I was mad. I was angry. It was raw. It's tough coming in after these games like that. There's been a lot of jubilation with the Knicks, even with some, you know, blowout losses. That was different. And that's kind of where I want to start, with how different yesterday was, or should I say the other night now, and how I feel about this team responding, because I've talked about how I trust this team. I think they've earned our trust. I really do. I think they've earned our trust. And I remember in the Celtics series, so many people talking about how important game number 3 was. That you can't let them off the deck. You got to come right out. You stole 2 in Boston. You came from behind twice down 20. You got to come out with an effort. Don't let them off the deck. If you let them back into the series, blah, blah. And I was like, no. No. I want to win the game, of course. But they don't have to. The Celtics have to win that game. The Knicks don't have to. And I trust this team, even if it's a bad effort. And obviously, I was rewarded with a Game 4 second half. And even after getting blown out in Game 5, I trusted the Knicks to show up in Game number 6, and they did. And our trust was rewarded. And I still trust this team. And I expect this team to come back after everything we went through all of yesterday and you went through here on the station all of yesterday. We know all the ins and outs. We know all the different things, from the calls that went against them to the Naismith incredible three-point shooting contest that he put on in the fourth quarter and the last 2.5 minutes, to the foul, to the overtime, the defensive effort, shooting the ball too quickly and not running the clock out, all the things we've talked about. And after a day, you flush it and you get ready for a game number 2. And after having said I trust them, and I do, I have to admit this feels different to me. It does. It feels different to me because as I say I trust them, they also haven't had this. They've never been down in a series yet, right? They have yet to be losing in the series. This is the first time. And when I say I trust them off poor efforts, I trust them off of losing a game. Not losing a game in the manner in which they lost game number one. It is different. Because every time I said I trusted them, it was coming off a lousy effort. It was coming off a lousy effort in game five against the Pistons. It was coming off a lousy effort in game number three against the Celtics and game number five against the Celtics. I know they weren't blown out necessarily in game five, but surely 3-5 against the Pistons, but 3-5 against the Celtics, they were just blown out from the jump. It was never a game. The Celtics overran them. The Knicks didn't come out with that fire, that intensity, that, you know, kill effort, that ability to come out and want to end your opponent when you have the opportunity. And they weren't able to do it, but I still trusted that next effort to be great. Here's my issue, a little bit, because I do trust them. And I trust that that won't happen again, as everyone's saying. Of course, I think they're going to be far better at the end of this game if given the same opportunity. They're not going to make the same mistakes they made. I think Tibbs is an excellent head coach, even if we have qualms with some of the ways he handles the games and some of his, you know, how much he plays the bench, how many minutes he plays them, his inability to make offensive adjustments. Fine, there's issues with Tibbs. He's not the perfect head coach, but I trust him to learn and not make the same mistakes twice in a series. Sure, of course, if they're in the same position, a 17-point lead in the fourth quarter or a 9-point lead with 2.5 minutes left, I don't expect them to blow the game, of course. But here's the one thing I am concerned with is I hear everybody say, well, they'll bounce back. I expect them to come back. I expect this. I expect that. Hey, did you think it would be easy? But like, this is different a little bit because the effort was there in game number one. The team did come out with an energy and matched a Pacers team that came out with it themselves. They hit every stinking shot to start the game. They finished hitting every single shot, and they started hitting every single shot. But the Knicks came out with that effort you were looking for, that mentality, that game number one, understanding how important it was. This team has been a team that's come off bad efforts with good efforts. It's been hard for them to put consistent good efforts together, and what scares me is game one was a good effort. Game one, they had the better of the play. Game one, they were the better team for 46 minutes. Game one, they came out and let the Pacers play the run game. They let them run up and down the court. They handled the transition offense. That game went exactly, I've been quoting Charles Barkley a lot in that halftime because he's talking about, well, even though they're losing, even though they're down, you know, this game is played right now the way the Pacers want to play. And I was like, exactly. That's a positive for me. They're playing it exactly the way the Pacers would like to play it, and they're doing it better than the Pacers. I was ready to call that a not just a good game one, a great game one. I was ready to call that a monumental effort and taking the Pistons game and throwing it the Pacers game and throwing it right in their face. So I've seen this team give a lackluster performance and come back. I've seen this team give a lackluster offensive performance and just performance overall in a first half and change it mid-game. Off of the way that game ended and the nature in which that game ended and the mistakes that were made and knowing they blew an opportunity despite having the effort we all wanted them to have, this is a different sort of get off the deck. It is. It's not, hey, we had a 2-game lead. We can't, you know, we can't seem to handle prosperity. We had a bad effort after having a really, you know, good effort, but we just from the jump, we didn't have that killer instinct. We didn't have that mentality. We didn't have the desperation. We couldn't match the Celtics' desperation when they were down 2-0. We were up 2-0. And even whether it was subconsciously, the quote from Jalen Brunson, even if it was subconsciously, we just couldn't match that effort. Then they come out in game four, and then they go into Boston looking to close it out without Tatum, and they didn't match the effort of the Boston Celtics. They didn't. But they were always able to bounce back off of that bad effort and come out and give a great effort and find a way to win and find a way to have that desperate mentality. So in, like, it's kind of, we're going to find out about this team in some ways. Because, yeah, they've proven they can come out off of a poor effort. They've also proven they can come out when they're the more desperate team and play like it. And clearly, tonight, they're the more desperate team. But they've also had trouble putting two good efforts back together. Other than the second halves, really, of the Boston first two games of that series, where they both, in both games, came from behind 20 points. They haven't really put those two consecutive games. And what scares me is they had the effort in game one. They were the better team. And what scares you is how many times, it's not going to be easy. I heard Gio all morning long. Hey, what'd you think? This was going to be easy? No, I didn't think it was going to be easy. I didn't expect the Knicks to come out and have the better of the play in every game in this series. They came out and had the better of the play in game number one and lost it. They came out and had that killer instinct and ready to take the Pacers down and shove their own game back in their face and put together a great offensive performance. And we saw Karl-Anthony Towns. We saw the way they played in the first 46 minutes of the game, and it was good enough to not only win, but to have a 17-point lead. And they built that lead with Brunson on the bench. There's a lot of positives about that game. And what scares me is, how many games do you expect to have it go that way? I know everything that could have went wrong in the last 2.5 minutes did. Everything that could have went the Pacers' way the last 2.5 minutes did. Whether it was calls, whether it was incredible shots, whether it was missed free throws. Like, it all went their way. The Knicks made the mistakes. Every call, the foul that, now I got to admit, as I watch it over and I see him, grab OG Anunoby by the shirt, I'm still annoyed that that call got overturned on the floor. I'm still annoyed that they didn't get a goaltending call in overtime and it leads to a three-pointer and really a change in momentum in that overtime. Sure. And they made plenty of mistakes. Everything went against them and everything went for the Pacers, including one of the more remarkable clanks up in the air to fall only right down through the basket. But how many games did we expect, when we say this wasn't going to be easy, did you expect it to be easy? There was going to be some hardship, which was, I was saying, in the Celtics series after game three. But to me, it feels different because game three, they just got blown out. The effort wasn't there. The Celtics overran them. It was one of those games where the Celtics were going to be the better team. The other night, game one, the Knicks were the better team. The Knicks came out with that effort. It's very difficult when you're the much better team and blow it, because we can call it a trend, right? And we have. Hey, the Celtics blew it twice. Cleveland blew a game just like Indiana's done it to Cleveland. Indiana's done it to Milwaukee. The Knicks did it to the Celtics. It's kind of a trend here in the postseason. You know what else is a trend? Those teams losing the series. The Milwaukee Bucks unable to come back. The Cleveland Cavaliers losing in five. The Celtics unable to recover from the first two games they blew. I trust them. I expect them to have a big effort tonight. I know that their lives are on the line, and every time that's been the case, they have shown up. But don't dismiss what game one was. It was a disaster of epic proportions in a game where they had the better of the play for 46 minutes. How many times do we expect in a 7-game series against this very tough Indiana Pacers team to have the better of the play for the first 46 minutes? We're going to find out a lot about this team. We're going to find out how they can come back from being called the choke artist. They've been the ones who have made the other teams choke. They made the Celtics choke. Now they're the choke artists. Now they're the ones who did everything wrong. Now they're the ones that have to rethink every decision they made at the end of the game.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, everyone. Summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high-quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
They're also the ones who have to understand that, hey, we got to do everything we did again for 46 minutes just to get back to the same place we were at the end of game one with an opportunity to get our first win in the series. It's hard to overcome. I trust them. They're mentally tough. I expect everything I just said, but I have to admit there's a little part of me that's more nervous than I was in the other times. They've yet to be down in a series, and coming back from that game, we just casually say it. Every time they've put together a bad effort, they come back with a great effort. That is true. Game one wasn't a bad effort. Game one wasn't, hey, they were just better than us tonight. Hey, we didn't have that killer instinct. Hey, the Celtics needed it more than we did and we couldn't match it. That's not what game one was. Game one was, we were better than them. Game one was, we played with an urgency. Game one was, they couldn't match our level for 46 minutes. And then we collapsed. I trust the team. But this is different than anything else they've had to recover from. This is different than losing game three. This is different than losing game five. Even if the opponent's different, even if the Celtics were defending champs, even if no one expected them to win that series and everyone expected them to win this one, that's another different pressure than we've seen. This is a different animal than everything else they've encountered coming back from that game one. And if they take game two, we forget about it, we flush it all, it's a tied series, go take one out of two in Indiana, come back for a game five with the series in your hands, in your building. And they go on and win this series, no one's going to care about game one, and we're all going to talk about how they overcame it, and great, I hope that's the case, and I still believe it will be. But I can't just dismiss it. I can't just say, hey, they've bounced back every time. I expect them to do it again. This is different. This is different. It's easier to just come off, hey, we played terribly. We got our doors blown off. We'll be better next time. This was, we did everything right for 46 minutes, everything wrong for two, and we lost. How many times does that happen? I don't expect it to happen again. That can't happen again. He's not going to hit all those threes again. This can't happen again. This can't happen again. We all just assume they're going to be the better team for 46 minutes again. It's not as easy as that. This is a huge game number two, and we're going to find out how tough this Knick team is. 888-808-1019. Let's take a call in the open here and go to Jeff in Florida. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you, buddy?
Good. Good. So, yeah, I just real quick on the whole choke narrative. Yeah, they missed two free throws. They had a few bad positions. It wasn't a choke. It was historic shooting. I did the numbers. If you count the opening 9 for 9, they had Pacers had to go 16 for 16, including 8 threes, and the luckiest shot of all time to force overtime. So
the Knicks,
yeah,
the Knicks also missed foul shots. The Knicks also had terrible possessions. The Knicks also couldn't hold on to the ball. The Knicks also had Jalen Brunson had 7 turnovers in the game. Like, you can't. I'm sorry. I understand your point. I do. And I take it to heart, and I said the same thing last night. Too many people were going to overreact and say this was a complete choke job and not give enough credit to the Indiana Pacers. I totally agree. What they were able to accomplish at the end of that game, and what Nesmith in particular was able to accomplish, and then that shot, which I agree with you, is as crazy as I've ever seen. It took a million things to go against them. But it's unfair to just, I mean, the Knicks played their role in it. It's impossible to lose it's impossible to lose that game if you don't play your role in it. And the Knicks played a role in it.
They did. And so did, you know, like
of course, so did the Pacers. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I would be hypocritical. I would be hypocritical. Yeah. Knicks fans would be hypocritical because whenever the Celtics said, oh, we choked it, you know, no, I'd be like, no, the Knicks came out and won that game. So I agree with you. The Pacers came out and won the game, but there's always a role. And all they had to do was hit one more foul shot. You know, all they had to do was, you know, not put up a shot, not have a turnover with 5 seconds off the shot clock when you're trying to run the game out. Like, there was a bunch of mistakes inside there, too.
Oh, yeah. And the thing is, if they make one more foul shot, you know, there's a good chance that they hit a three before they could foul. You know, who knows? The point is, whatever. And that the overturn call was absurd on so many levels just because it took 10 minutes.
I agree.
If they would have ruled it in 30 seconds or a minute, I would be upset. But, you know, okay, it took 10 minutes. I mean, they said on the broadcast, if 100%. You can't figure it out in a minute or two, you got to leave the call.
100%. And that's not just and I'll let you finish. That's not just the problem with that particular play. That is a problem with review in general. I know it's a big game and you want to get it right. I don't care. The review is there to turn over the egregious call. If you have to look at it for 8 minutes, it's not egregious. Leave it as called on the floor. I completely agree with you.
That's the same in any sport.
Absolutely. Yeah. And baseball is the worst to me because I think it also, like if a guy slides into second safe and then his cleat comes off the base by a quarter of a centimeter while the glove's still on him, they'll call him out. And I'm like, that's not the purpose of the rule. I get that he's out, I do, but like that's not what it's there for, man. It's there to make sure the guy who at first gets beat by a step or beats the throw by a step doesn't lose the out. It's not to like get a guy who comes off the bag on a slide by a half a centimeter that we have to look at for 3 minutes just to see if it's actually off the bag. I hate it.
Exactly. It's like, even as a Mets fan, it's like, you know, not to have the asterisk with the Johan Santana no-hitter, you know.
Right.
With the dump. But anyway, real quick on today. Yeah, it's just, you know, the way you look at it, you flush it, it's tough to recover. I think Mad Dog said on his show, it's tough because now they basically got to win this 5 out of 7 games. But, you know, you win today, and then it's a new, you know, you start over. But if they lose today, then it's obviously good night because, you know, maybe they'll have more to sleep, but they're not going anywhere if they lose today. That's all. And, you know, even if they're down 3-1, I don't like their chances that they're down 3-1. But if, you know, you win game 5 in that scenario, then you put the pressure on Indiana. The point is, you got to win today to even have a chance maybe to beat down 3-1 at that worst case. So that's all. And, you know, like you said, so many times within games and after games, people thought they might be done in the Detroit series, in the Boston series. I mean, friend, it's an ongoing joke, my friend had texted me about 8 times saying it's over, they're done.
I'm with you, Jeff, every time. That's why I'm not dismissing it. I'm just saying there's two ways to look at this. And I'm not so, as much as I trust them, it is a different thing they're bouncing back from. Like, because I just felt like we've heard a lot of, hey, every time they bounce back. I was just talking to Pat Boyle, does a great job just starting as the overnight guy out on the network, does an incredible job. Pat's a great kid and a good host. I was just talking, and a big Knick fan, and we were just talking, he said the same thing. He's like, listen, man, I'm confident they bounce back every time. And I feel the same way, but like the more I hear it, I'm just trying to say, like, let's just be fair for a second and recognize that this is slightly different. This is different. They have yet to be in this position. And as you said, I didn't hear Dog say it, but yeah, that's a pretty good way to say it. Now they have to win 5 of the 7 games in this series. They won that game. They won that game. How many games do you expect to win against the Indiana Pacers in a 7-game series? Because now you have to win 5. That's a very eloquent way of putting it. And that's how I'm feeling. Like they've taken leads and then had poor efforts and bounced back. This isn't bouncing back off a poor effort. They had a great effort. They had an effort that gave them a 17-point lead with 4 minutes left. They had an effort that had a 14-point lead with 2.5 minutes left. That's an incredible effort. That game's got to be a win. This is different. Now they've got to be the better team in the series 5 out of 7 games. Capable of it? Absolutely. They're the better team in my mind. They're absolutely capable. They're capable of running off the next 4. And having that being the only game they lose, they're more than capable of that. But we just, I mean, as much as I was right there, game 3 against the Celtics. They don't have to win, I trust them. Game 5, they don't have to win, I trust them. They didn't have to come out and win game 1. I would have trusted them. If they came out and got their butts kicked, or they came out and the Pacers were the better team and they lost by 6 or 7 or 10 or whatever, and it was just, hey, that was the Pacers' night, I would trust them for a big effort tonight. That's not what happened. They were the better team. And I'm just a little concerned, like, how many nights are you going to be the better team? Now they got to be the better team 5 out of 7. It's not that easy, and it is different. 888-808-1019. We'll come back with more of your calls. We didn't get a lot. Yesterday was completely Knicks. We're going to definitely start here with Knicks and take your phone calls at 888-808-1019. Maybe get into a little baseball as the Yankees sweep the Texas Rangers. They're as hot as any team in baseball. And that pitching, ooh, that pitching. And if I mention Carlos Rodon, I'll have to go back. I don't often do this, but maybe I'll pull a thing from the afternoon show and go back with Posted and Ghosted and take one of my old tweets at the beginning of the year about Carlos Rodon when everyone still hated him. And then, of course, I don't think, what has it been? 24 minutes. We came on a little bit after 1, so it's about 21 minutes now. I've yet to say Juan Soto's name. So contractually, sports radio host here in New York, we have to say Juan Soto every 25 minutes. I was just under the wire if they're listening. So, you know, we could always talk Juan Soto because we didn't get an opportunity yesterday to talk about the 2 at-bats where he just stood there. Like, we've never seen him just stand there. Does that mean he wasn't trying?
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down. we've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
You're juggling work, life, and receivers who can't catch a cold. We get it. And we got you. New York Sports. No filter. The Fan. 1019 FM and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
All right there. 132. Mick Monaco here with you on The Fan. Taking you for 5 hours all the way to 6 a.m. That's right. 6. So we got plenty of time to hang out on this kickoff to summer, although it didn't feel like summer. And I got to tell you, I'll get into it a little bit later. But if you're a fan of the show and if you remember me back from my Big Mac days of being part of the Evan and Robert show, Craig would always mess with me about living in Warwick. I live up in upstate New York, Orange County. And I've never been more aware of where I live than today, or yesterday now. Yesterday was quite the day. I'll get into it. It started early in the morning with something I'm familiar with, and then a little bit later in the day with something pretty wild. So a little nature thrusted upon this city boy living out in Warwick. We'll get into that as I had one hell of an afternoon and one hell of a fun morning. 888-808-1019. But let's start with your Nick calls as game two tonight, Madison Square Garden, in what really feels like, and I always feel like you have to preface it because no, it is not technically a must win, but it sure feels like one. 888-808-1019. Let's go to John in Long Island. What's up, John?
Hey, Chris. How you doing?
Good. How are you, buddy?
Good, thanks. I want to touch upon something that you spoke about earlier when you mentioned that the Knicks were taking it to the Pacers and playing their game and winning.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to say, I think you're wrong on this one.
Okay.
Because, you know, the Knicks only play 7 or 8 guys. And, you know, when Cameron Payne gets into the game, nothing good ever really happens. So,
yeah, but
they line up with 10 guys.
They didn't play as many guys. But didn't we all go into the series? Didn't you go into the series thinking that the point you want to limit fast breaks, you want to slow the game down, you want to limit how many shots they take. They took 100 shots. Like, the Pacers played exactly how they want to play the game. Like, the Knicks are trying to slow down the offense, play a half-court game, set their offense, have, you know, Karl Anthony Towns kind of bust it down low, which he did at times, but that was a very fast-paced, high-scoring game. We felt like if the Knicks were going to, you know, Knicks were going to want to try and slow things down. They came out there and ran up and down the court. Now, they did it with less guys. Sure, the Pacers still continued to roll out their deeper bench than the Knicks, but they played that same kind of game, and it could speak to the reason why the Knicks were making all the mistakes at the end of the game, because for 46 minutes, they were trying to keep pace with the Pacers team while they were rolling out 10 and the Knicks rolling out 7. Absolutely. And the foul trouble as well, because you have nobody to split the fouls up with. Like, you know, when you have to take a foul, it's got to be one of your starters because they're the only ones on the floor. But as far as the stylistic nature of the play, the Knicks didn't slow this game down. The Knicks went out there and played a fast-paced, tons of shots, put them up, don't run the shot clock. That's the kind of basketball. Charles Barkley said the same thing at halftime. He said this is the style of play the Pacers are comfortable with and want to play.
Right, and that's why I think in a long series like this, if you're asking the Knicks to play a Pacers style,
agreed.
I mean, I don't think we have a chance.
Agreed. That's why I agree with you, John. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying that's what made Game 1 so I was ready to call that a really impressive win. I thought that was going to be a kind of demoralizing win for the Pacers, where it was like, hey, you want to come out here and run us into the ground? Too bad. Run. That's fine. Run with us. We can win that way, too. I don't know if they could play that way every game of the series and win 4 out of the next 6. I don't know. But they had the game 1 playing that way in game 1. And that's why it's tough. That's why that game was rough for me. And for everybody, really. But like in particular, like I just felt like it wasn't just how they lost it, it's what the win would have represented. Like I really think it would have been a very positive first win. Now, if they would have turned around and lost tonight and a split, then yeah, then it gets erased, just like the loss kind of gets erased. I think we all would have taken a split, understanding that, you know, the Pacers couldn't have lost both games in New York to start the series, and, you know, you live with a split. You would have liked it to not have been the way it was, but if they win tonight, we forget that ugly loss. If they would have won game one and I would have been talking about how impressive it was and all the different elements of that game that spoke volumes of how the rest of the series is going to go, that kind of all goes out the window if the Pacers win game two. So point being, the Knicks need to win game two. I don't care how they do it. I don't care if they win 17-16. They got to win the game. 17-16 or 217-216. Either way, they've got to come out with one more point than the Pacers do, and I won't care about stylistics. John in Far Rockaway. What's up, John?
How you doing, Mr. McMonagle? It's good to speak to you.
Good to speak to you, John. How are you?
I'm all right, except for the fact that the Knicks won a game and they still managed to lose it.
Yes.
The fact of the matter is, this whole review with 19 seconds left to go just really upset me on multiple points.
Yeah.
First off, I thought the reviews in basketball were supposed to be only for egregious calls. Like, that was the entire thing when they introduced video replay in basketball. It wasn't going to be like the other sports. It was going to be quick, and only if it was egregious they would overturn it. But how they overturned it was weird, because you saw the video of that foul, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, because I still call it a foul. The ball comes down.
Well, while they reviewed it, technically was a foul, so yes.
Exactly. So it hits OG in the palm. OG palms the ball, gets a shot up, while the Pacers player has, I forgot who it was, I think it was Siakam, has OG's hand literally in a vice grip, right? So they reverse the call. They say the thing that, and what came out of that reversal was really confusing to me. I'd like this explained if possible. They say the contact was incidental because the ball was loose, right?
He knocked the ball loose first, then it was a loose ball, and any contact after that was deemed incidental.
Yeah, isn't there such a thing as loose ball foul? So,
yes.
So if you knock the ball loose,
correct,
I am then allowed to grab you, yank you, throw you. Like, is there not such a thing as loose ball foul?
Of course there is. They said that the level of contact after the loose ball did not warrant a loose ball foul. It was incidental contact. It was trying to make a play on the ball. Which I have less of a problem with the vice grip on the hand because he's making a play on the ball. I have more of a problem with some of the contact and then the grabbing of the jersey. Like, you could see he's clearly holding his jersey.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I could have at least found at least four different ways that Siakam fouled Anunoby in that review. If you were to take 5 minutes like they did during that broadcast and review that tape, I found at least four different fouls that Siakam committed to Anunoby. The grabbing of the jersey, the vice grip on the hand, the vice grip on the wrist. There was at least four different ways that you could have said Knicks inbound the ball, Pacers give up the foul. Maybe no two shots. Maybe it's not a shot attempt, but Knicks inbound the ball, 19 seconds left. Pacers have no timeout, and play continues.
I mean,
I could have at least found four.
I mean, I suppose you could. I think you're going a little over the top. I don't know about four necessarily. And look, I have more of a problem just with there was no reason to overturn the call on the court. I got to be fair. We have to be fair. If that was ruled no foul on the court and the Knicks challenged it to call a foul, I would have been, you can't look at it for 7 minutes and then call a foul. I would have been happy if that was the outcome because I'm a Knicks fan and I want what's best for the Knicks. And I might have even been, you know, stupidly screaming at the TV, oh, that's a foul. But I think it's fair. Whatever was called on the court should have stayed in that play. There's no doubt about it. That's how I feel about it. More so than, oh, my God, it's an egregious foul. Oh, my God, whatever happened to loose ball fouls. It's a vice grip. It's a, you know, tugging on the jersey. All of that might have shreds of truth to it. And certainly he's grabbing the jersey. That's not even my problem. My issue is they looked at it for 7 minutes. If you have to look at it that long, it should just be whatever was called on the court. That's 100% what I think. Jake in Brooklyn. What's up, Jake?
Hey, how are we doing tonight?
Good. How are you?
Listen, man, I know this is one game, and we shouldn't be going crazy over one game, but I'm not just a little nervous. I am very, very freaking nervous.
Well, of course, the series feels like it's on the line tonight. Of course, I'm nervous too.
Right, and for a bunch of reasons, and I'll tell you why. And I just want to see if you agree with me. That first of all, this was not a fluke from the Pacers. The last series against the Cavs, what Haliburton did on that buzzer beater was probably more impressive than what happened last night.
Mm-hmm.
And besides for the fact that they're way deeper than us and every guy on their team could shoot the three, I mean, they're, this is not a fluke. They're all shooting high percentages from three the whole season.
Mm-hmm.
And the playoffs, it's upgraded in the playoffs. And I just don't see how we slow them down.
Well, they did it for the first – they were up 17 points in the fourth quarter. They're up 14 points with 4.5 minutes left. I mean, they're up 9 points with a minute left. I mean, they had every opportunity to win the game, and they slowed them down. Like I understand your point and your nervousness. The idea of I don't understand how they can slow them down. They won. They had the game won. It took. I mean, I know they all hit threes. He had to hit five and not miss one. He had to go 5 for 5 in the fourth quarter. He had to go 5 for 5. They needed that call to go against them. The one I was just talking about with the last caller. That call had to go against them. You could argue the goaltending call had to go against them. Many things had to happen for them to win that game. That ball, like you want to say more impressive, okay, maybe that shot against Cleveland was more impressive because this was the luckiest shooter's bounce I've ever freaking seen. The ball goes straight up in the air. I agree, but that's a different argument. Your argument right now that you're trying to make is, I don't know how the hell we slow down the Pacers. They're up 17 with 8 minutes left.
And the Pacers still played their type of game the whole game.
I understand that. And they were better than them. But they were better than them in that spot.
I don't know how we keep this up for a 7-game series.
Yeah, no, they'll have to try and I agree with that, Jake. You're gonna have to try and slow them down. That's part of my point. Like, this was a game that the Pacers played well in my mind. This is a game where the Pacers really kind of, in many ways, dictated the pace of the game. The Pacers got what they wanted. They came out and hit every shot, and they played the fast-paced nature they wanted to. And the Knicks still had it won. And my point isn't that, hey, the Knicks can win like that, and that's how the series is going to go, and it doesn't matter because the Knicks can win that way. I agree with you. Eventually, they don't play as many guys. They're going to have to. They're not going to be able to play that fast-paced game. You could even argue it impacted them later in this game in the last 2 minutes. My point is, it's hard for the Indiana Pacers to dictate every game of the series. You had an opportunity to take a game where the Pacers kind of dictated the play. That's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. The Knicks are going to have games where they dictate the play of the game. That's a series. There's going to be games where the Knicks get the better of the play. There's going to be games where the Knicks dictate how the games are played. That was a game where the Pacers kind of played their game the way they wanted to play, and the Knicks were still going to beat them at it. Now, if they play that game again, can the Knicks hold up and play like that and have a 17-point lead? I doubt it. That's why it hurts so much. But that's a series. There's going to be games where they get the better, the Knicks get the better, they play the way they want to play, the Knicks slow it down. They'll be, because they won't hit every shot, like there'll be different ways to play this. The series will be played different ways, and different games will have different guys who control the series. At different moments. Now, look, if the Pacers end up playing more games like that, you're right, they probably win the series, or at least they have a very good chance to. What I loved about it was, as the Pacers did, like Charles Barkley said, hey, at halftime, hey, look, I know they're down, but they're playing the game they want to play. As almost as if, like, well, that's a positive. And I understand, I guess the point of that is, kind of like, well, if they can do this all series long, they're in good shape. Yeah, I mean, I suppose, yeah, if they play exactly how they want to play the entire series, they're in good shape. But isn't it bad that they're getting everything they want and playing it their way and the Knicks are winning? That's why that game was so important. It's more to me than just blowing it in the last 2 minutes and what that, you know, having deemed a choke job and all the mistakes made and how do they recover from losing a game they won. That's part of it, too. It's a huge part of it. But a lot of it to me is also, they were about to take game number one in a game where the Pacers kind of played pretty damn well, shot the ball, took 100 shots, hit a lot of them, were on fire to start, good numbers from three, running up and down the court. Like, they played kind of their game, and the Knicks still won it. I don't expect the Pacers to be able to play their game every game of this series. Just like I don't expect the Knicks to be able to play their game every game of the series. That's why, to me, it's a swing game. If the Knicks would have been dominating the game the way they played the game, like they slowed it down, Pacers were rusty from having a full week layoff, they didn't hit their shots, it was a drag-em-out, knock-em-out physical game where Karl-Anthony Towns was really, you know, they were posting up a lot, they were slowing things down, and it was a 97-96 game or a 100-89 game when they started collapsing, I would have been like, all right, you know, that's a brutal loss, but, you know, it went kind of the Knicks way. I would be like this. It's a tough way to win because you got the better control of the game. This was the win wouldn't have been as satisfying. It would have been a good win. Hey, the Knicks played their game. They took game one. This was they outplayed the Pacers at their own game. This is like a steal of a game. And that's not what they got. Antonio in Dover Plains. What's up, Antonio?
Hey, C-Mac, what's going on?
What's up?
C-Mac, a couple of things. This was a wake-up call for the Knicks. I think we proved that we are the better team. A lot of things had to go right for the Pacers, and everything went wrong for the Knicks.
Correct.
If you see in the first quarter, they could have missed a shot.
Correct.
They could have missed a shot. They were making every shot. I was like, are you kidding me? Yep. They were making every single shot. And then the fourth quarter, this kid Nesmith could have missed a three-point. And now I know why Thibodeau doesn't sit his starters no matter the score. He had, when they were coming back, he had Brunson, Karl-Anthony Towns,
yeah,
and Bridges on the
I know, and a lot of people are complaining about it. A lot of people are complaining because they're not very good defensively.
Now I know why he doesn't sit him no matter what the score is. And another thing, everything went right for them. That last shot with Halliburton, which I hate the choke finder. You know what happened when Reggie Miller did it? We won.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the goaltending Siakam holding OG's jersey. There was a lot of things that happened that went their way, and everything went the wrong way for us. And
100%.
We almost won the game. Well, we're going to win in six.
All right, listen, Antonio, I'm with you. I picked the Knicks in six. I'm not getting off that Knicks in six. I'm just saying that's a tough loss. And I'm hearing a lot of, hey, you know, like of what you're saying. Hey, they were the better team. Hey, they got to come out. This is not going to be easy tonight. Let's see. I hope you're right. I hope you're right. But about the Reggie Miller stuff, I'll take another call. Maybe I'll do that at two, because I have a different take than I think most people that I've heard today do. I heard Evan playing all the highlights that he deemed that Reggie Miller was, you know, trolling the Knicks or rooting for the Pacers. I've seen a lot of complaints about that. Obviously, Halliburton, you know, going back and hearkening back to the choke, obviously, series, which, as you pointed out there, the Knicks ended up winning that series. We'll get to the Reggie Miller aspect of this series at 2 o'clock. 888-808-1019. Let's get to Liam in Houston. What's up, Liam?
Hey, C-Mac, thanks for taking my call.
You got it, buddy.
Firstly, what I want to say is that on the positive, okay, so Karl Anthony Towns showed up, which I'm very proud of him.
Yes, he certainly did, yep.
And Jalen Brunson had a hell of a game. It really hurts that we lost. And so we had two, you know, at the end of overtime, we had two opportunities there to tie the game, and both Brunson and Towns lost. Missed the shot. But my problem is you know, people are complaining about the foul and all these other votes, and that's valid. But ultimately, my problem is Thibodeau, because at 2.5 minutes left, 2:34, the Knicks were up by 14.
Hello?
Did you say that? Yes. Did you hear me?
I heard you say, with 2.5 minutes left, they're up by 14. That's what I heard you say.
Yeah, okay. So if you just simple math, right, if the Knicks run out the clock on every possession, 24 seconds, and say, you know, the Pacers, right, they get seven, they just, every possession they do, right, is seven seconds. So, and if they hit all three, and if they hit all threes, you're talking about seven possessions five possessions times three, so it's 15. Then they would beat the Knicks. But that provided the Knicks don't even score anything. So I don't understand why Thibodeau just doesn't run out the entire clock. And to me, I mean, this is one of the issues that I have with him, and that's the difference between Thibodeau and Carlisle. There's a reason why Thibodeau, he's a hell of a coach, but he doesn't have a ring. Carlisle has a ring.
Mm-hmm.
Other coaches has a ring. So to me, I have issues with Thibodeau, but this
yeah, well, I
loss,
mean, so the Celtics coach had a ring, and he blew two games just like this to a team coached by Thibodeau.
Agreed, but in this
Mazzulla has a ring. He just had one last year.
And granted, that is true. But my problem with Thibodeau, specifically with this game, is how you not manage a game in which you just beat all the clock. Because ultimately, I have no issue with the Knicks players, because they play their heart out. They play a hell of a game. They left it all out there. They score, you know, they score a lot of points.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, if you're the coach in that position, you're like, hey, we're winning. Let's just run out the clock. And basic math, we win this game.
Yeah, I know, but, I mean, listen, it's also the players on the floor. Jalen Brunson, do you think Tibbs was in his ear saying, hey, pass it to OG Anunoby? Or, like, Jalen Brunson's responsible for taking some of that clock off. And if you do the math, like, they were putting up shots immediately. And then they were going to foul. It's not like they could have run the clock out of every, like you said, 2.5 minutes, five possessions. All right, so say give the Knicks five possessions. Right, that's 120 seconds. So yeah, that's 2 minutes. They get that. That's how quick they were taking shots, and they're fouling. Like, you can't run out the clock completely. But I don't disagree, especially the pass to OG Anunoby underneath that play that leads to the foul call that gets overturned. There was 19 seconds left on the play clock. That one hurts. Dribble the ball out, run some clock, get fouled. There's a couple of possessions like that. I'm not saying you're wrong. And Tibbs made mistakes. And I would have put, you know, I agreed with Tiki and Evan today. I talked a little bit about it yesterday morning. Mitch Robinson should be on the floor in that part where you're looking for defense there. And a caller mentioned it to me that the entire section of 113 or whatever was screaming, don't bring Brunson back in the game because they went on the run without Brunson. I think that's a little bit silly. But at the end of the game, when you're right, possession and time is more important than making shots and defense is more important, maybe you take Brunson out of the game for Deuce. Like, there's a couple of things there. But again, a million things had to go wrong. It's not just on the coach. The players didn't execute either.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.